Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, this just in from Washington. I think a lot of you will find this interesting because we followed the U.S. attorney's firing scandal here over the years. Attorney General Michael Mukasey has just appointed a special prosecutor to pursue possible criminal charges against Republicans involved in those controversial firings of U.S. attorneys. The move is the top recommendation of a new Justice Department investigation just out that harshly criticizes Bush administration officials, members of Congress, and their aides. Results of the investigation just made public, and Attorney General Mukasey just now appointing a special prosecutor to pursue possible criminal charges in relation to all of that. Interesting way for that administration to go out in its final 3 months. And with the presidential elections and the credit crisis, we can lose sight of what's going on in the rest of the world. But my next guests are working very hard to make sure that the problems of the powerless in places like Darfur and Myanmar stay on our minds. Actor and activist Mia Farrow has joined with two Nobel Peace Prize laureates, Jody Williams, who won recognition for her work against landmines, and Wangari Maathai, who founded the Green Belt Movement in Kenya, to issue a new report today. Welcome, all three of you, to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And the three of you are releasing a report this afternoon on your findings about the status of women in Sudan and Burma. Wangari Maathai, why those two countries in particular?
Well, definitely Darfur in particular. We are very concerned about the fact that this has been an ongoing conflict that has caused so much, so many lives and so much misery. And it's very, very important that especially the African Union and the international community brings an end to this misery. And in Burma or Myanmar, as some of us refer to it, we are, of course, very concerned about the fact that our sister Aung San Suu Kyi continues to be at a house arrest, violations of human rights. The place continues to be very closed. Recently, we saw the impact of the hurricane Nargis. And so these are two areas where we have been very, very concerned about the fate of the people, and especially women and children.
Mia Farrow, pick anything from the report that you think will be strikingly new to our listeners.
It may not be new to you, to your listeners, but the crucial moment now that the U.S. and all the nations of the world support the findings of the international criminal courts. As you know, the chief prosecutor, Luis Moreno Campo, has called for the arrest of Omar al-Bashir. That is about to be brought before the courts, and there is some dispute about which countries will and will not support this.
That would be the head of state of Sudan. Correct.
The head of the president of the country of Sudan, yes, for the crime of genocide, no less. So incredibly, many nations are not supportive of the arrest of Mr. Bashir. But our findings in eastern Chad and hearing the people of that region was precisely the opposite. People are naming babies Moreno Ocampo across eastern Chad and Darfur, and they are begging that he be removed from office.
And Jody Williams, I understand that the British want to drop the charges against Bashir if he acts to stop the fighting in Darfur. How do you feel about that?
I think it's ridiculous. Bashir has promised changes all the time, and what he really sees is that the international community, whatever that means, always backs down. We talk about why can't they do anything, and it's about political will, especially as we're watching the response to, the possible collapse of the U.S. economy. And look at how quickly, it was mobilized to get $700 billion to bail out the companies on Wall Street that have defrauded the American public. That can be done overnight, right? And yet, the Darfur war has been going on since 2003. Bush himself called it genocidal. There have been dramatic, marvelous statements about the genocide, crimes against humanity, rape as a weapon of war. And yet nothing happens.
Wangari Maathai, if that British deal could actually be followed up on. And I don't know if it could. But if Bashir actually took steps to stop the genocide, stop the other killings in Darfur, would that be worth it to save all those lives, to drop any retroactive charges?
Well, obviously, one of the reasons why such deals are being worked on is because the African Union has been quick to rally around the president of Sudan and to try to appeal to the rest of the leadership in the world that they be allowed to deal with the crisis in Darfur. Unfortunately, it has taken so long, and although I can fully understand why the African leadership would not want a sitting head of state to be dragged into an international court, it's also extremely important that the African leadership and their friends like the British appreciate that it is, should be unacceptable for the African people to continue suffering so much under their own leaders, that a certain amount of oppression and repression and violation of rights of people in Africa should be unacceptable.
This is WNYC. We're speaking with three guests unveiling the Nobel Women's Initiative report, Women for Peace, Nobel Women's Initiative delegation to Thai-Burma border, South Sudan, Chad, Darfur area, executive summary coming out today, and my very special guests, Nobel Peace Prize winners Jody Williams, who won recognition for her work against landmines, and Wangari Maathai, who founded the Green Belt Movement in Kenya, and actor and activist Mia Farrow. We can take a few questions on the phone for them in our short time if you call right away. 212-433-WNYC. Our phones are open at 212-433-9692. And as always, our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Mia Farrow, someone on the comments page asks, how helpful is Laura Bush's support of your cause? And is there more she and her husband could do in or out of office?
I think I'll give that one to Jody Williams, as she's more aware of Mrs. Bush's support for
sure.
The Burma issue.
Jody.
Certainly to have Laura Bush speak publicly in support of Aung San Suu Kyi, the 2,000 other political prisoners, and you know, trying to push that country toward democracy is incredibly useful to raise awareness. But we need more than talk. We need the president to follow her beautiful words with real action against Burma, the Burmese military junta. We need the ASEAN states, you know, all of the neighbors that keep calling for a mediation and discussions about return to democracy, to not just say nice words in the media and then trade with the Burmese military junta. Which thing is the junta going to listen to? They're going to listen to the dollars. They're not going to care about the words in the media. If that's not going to change until political will is generated to make it change.
Wangari Maathai, you were in the parliament in Kenya. Is there more that neighboring countries can do of Darfur and Sudan to stop the genocide there and to aid in the situation?
Well, right now I'm not actually a member of parliament, but I have been a member of parliament and an assistant minister in the government. And I do know that, yes, especially within the African Union, there is a lot that can be done to put pressure on the leadership in Sudan to bring peace to that country, bring all the different factions to the dialogue table so that peace can be worked on. But unfortunately, we have had we have so many conflicts in Africa that sometimes there is tolerance. There is also lack of capacity. For example, when we recently visited Ethiopia, the three of us, and were received by the leadership of the African Union, the African Union expressed lack of capacity to be able to put adequate soldiers, equipments, in Sudan so that they could at least keep the fighting parties apart.
So there's, if nothing else, a money issue there, a funding issue. Mia Farah, you had called for pressure to be exerted on China. You were one of the leaders of that movement in the time leading up to and during the Olympics to because of China's relationship to all of these circumstances. Mm-hmm. And they've been blamed for supporting the Sudanese government very much. People may not be as aware of their links to Burma. Have they responded in either case? Did the Olympics matter for the good in any way?
I think the Olympics drew attention to China. And China clearly had hoped to have an untarnished, spectacular event. And I don't think that happened. I think that there was an emptiness to the Games. I think it was impossible to think of Beijing and China without knowing of their support for abusive regimes around the globe, including Burma, and most horrifically for Sudan. The supplying of the arms that go directly to Darfur for the killing of civilians there and propping up the brutal regime in Khartoum. And this is the reason there aren't adequate troops in Khartoum. This is the reason the resolution was watered down in the way that it was, that actually a capable force is almost impossible to achieve given the language of the latest resolution and the acquiescence of the Security Council.
George in Greenwich, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hello.
I just want to thank Mia Farah as a member of Amnesty International for your efforts on part of Darfur. We're trying to always raise people's consciousness on these matters, too. I'm already engaged in a possibility of a new run for peace and justice between Hartford and New York. We're just in the preliminary stages, and we're always trying to get Darfur and things like that on the plate and trying to get people to become conscious of that. I hope you keep the good work up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Robert in Queens, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, good morning. I just can't understand why the United Nations cannot create an emergency currency that can be put into use in third world communities, especially where they're trying to make changes and bring democracy about. And I think Somalia was a very good situation to highlight recently. Inside the last year and a half, they were making big changes. And inside the last 6 months, that has all fallen apart because they weren't able to pay their own soldiers maybe for 20, 26 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Their own soldiers turned around and started robbing their own people.
Get.
I think that's a perfect example of not having such a thing as an emergency currency. And when the country gets up and running, let them bring in their own money and sort out the money situation after that. Then.
Getting right to the money issue that you were talking about, Wangari. Do you think that step would ever be warranted or accepted by other governments, a UN emergency currency?
Well, certainly it is an important piece that would be required because, as I said earlier, it is always very difficult for some of these governments to put the amount of money that is needed. Although I want to say that if there was the political will, it could be done because at the national level, we have enough money that is often allocated to the National Defense Council or defense ministries. So quite often it is the lack of political will that makes it difficult, both at the UN level and also at the regional level, at the region of the African Union.
By the way, I have to ask you while you're here, given Barack Obama's ties to Kenya, some roots there, are people in your country following this U.S. presidential election unusually closely?
Well, as you can well imagine, any elections in the United States of America is a national. It's not only a national issue; it's a global issue, and I'm sure everybody is glued onto television to see what's going to happen. And in Kenya, of course, we have a special interest, not only because we have had a very long relationship with the United States, but also because of Obama's connection to that country. But I can assure you that being a superpower and being expected to provide the leadership, everybody is wondering who is going to be the next leader of the superpower.
And we just have 30 seconds left. Jody Williams, let me give it to you. You use something called people power in your work against landmines. Can something like that be used on behalf of women around the world now in these reports, and anything else you want to say, but 30 seconds.
Of course it can. I think that part of what we're seeing and part of what we saw on our trip is women coming together to define their own role, not sitting back and waiting for the men who've made the war to allow them to have a voice. I think we need to see women at all levels of power, from, you know, local community to government to internationally, step up to the plate and assert themselves.
Nobel Peace Prize winners Jody Williams and Wangari Maathai, actor, activist Mia Farrow. You can see their report at NobelWomen'sInitiative.org. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.